something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
The very real threat against the Nova Scotia film and television industry.
We throw down my top five cottage cleaner jams.
And we fire up the Mike Duffy random name generator. All coming up right now on TNT.
Hello, Jonathan.
Jeremy Taggart, I've missed you, bud.
I've missed you, too. Here we are at number 35.
It's our 35th anniversary spectacular.
Yes, and there's balloons everywhere bumping into my head.
Also,
we're having a real time.
Also because it's Easter Sunday, if we're being honest.
Yes.
Do you still have the floating shark?
He's sagged a little bit.
Did he?
He's in one of the rooms. He's actually on a couch.
He's just kind of taking a time out.
Well, yeah, he needs to go back to the helium shop and get topped up if he wants to start cruising around the house, because the helium does get to work out, goes away.
Have you ever taken a balloon back to get it topped up?
Well, this thing I will.
Really?
There's a place down the street that's good. There's a little party shop there, kind of dollar store / party shop, and they got all kinds of stuff like that.
What's that going to run you to get the balloon topped up, or that's a service they provide when they sell it?
I think it's not bad. It's like $10 or something like that.
That's worth it, bud. Because it was 50 something, wasn't it?
50. Oh, the actual shark was expensive. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why you top it up. You don't just leave it.
No. You don't leave a helium shark lying around unfilled.
No.
It's simply not done.
Yeah. And the fear is gone with the kids.
Oh, that's good. Have they given him a name?
Sharky.
It's a good name.
You know how kids are. They love to just simplify stuff. Sharky. Sharky's, my daughter was a little bit afraid of him, but now it's all good. They're friends.
I am afraid of, intimacy, but also mice. And
you are?
Yeah.
It's like on the table, jump up styles?
It's an inherited irrational phobia, because when my mom was in grade 5, she went to school wearing a dress with a rope belt, and one of the boys in her class put a mouse down her back, and it ran laps around her stomach, and she couldn't get it
out.
So I grew up in a house where mice were the devil.
But it just kind of came upon through your mother, the terrifying fear.
Totally inherited. So the reason I bring this up is because I lived in an old farmhouse near Windsor, Nova Scotia for a long time. There were field mice around. And I tried there goes Darren. Tried giving them names to see if that would make it any more manageable.
That's not cool.
So the worst thing happened last summer. We were staining our house because it's a log home, and it was a windy day, and my father-in-law backed my truck into the field.
Father-in-law's a bod, eh? He's always helping out.
Oh, he's a good bod, yeah. He'll show up out
right
of nowhere.
There.
He has this uncanny ability to show up when I'm doing something wrong. He's never standing over my shoulder when I do something awesome, and I don't know if it's on purpose or just the way it is.
Just
in any event, he's a great help and a good dude. So the next day, we come out to get in the truck, and there's mouse dirt on the passenger seat. We're like, gosh, we have a mouse in our truck.
Yeah, that's
my worst
crazy
nightmare. So we clean up the poo, leave the doors open, set a trap, come back at the end of the day, no new poo, trap hasn't been flipped. We think, well, that's that then.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, take the truck to be detailed, and when I went to pick it up, the guy comes running out and says, dude, you need to trade this truck in. I said, why? He said, because when we were cleaning a flap in the back, Mama Mouse and her 6 mouse babies still latched, popped her head up out of nowhere, and dove down under the seat. Somewhere in your truck, there's a family of mice. And I imagine them trying to have more babies in my open mouth when I'm on the highway.
Whoa.
Like, worst nightmare. They're jumping on your neck. They're crawling on your calves. Like, terrible.
Wow. This is insanity. So what are you going to do?
Well, this was last summer, so we set a trap, caught the mom, then there were 6 blind, wet mouse babies somewhere in the truck.
Yeah, no, this
not going to survive. My brother-in-law, also a bud, helped put a shop vac extender on to suck the blind, wet mouse babies out from under my coffee cup holders one at a time.
This is getting, like, to the point where we're going to have the the humane fans of TNT enraged at
this is honestly, this is like if I went on Fear Factor and had to lie in a telephone booth full of rats, like worst nightmare. All that to say, the mouse babies wouldn't have survived without their mom.
Oh, yeah.
So we
had to get them out of there.
Had to get them out of there because they were just going to die and they were going to smell.
Yeah.
So all that to say, I ensured that the vermin challenge was finished and then sold the car.
The vermin challenge.
Because I couldn't imagine driving. Like, I fell out of love with this vehicle.
We got to go through the things that, like, the amount of money you've had to spend because of unbelievable circumstances. Either you've been either the right on out of money or like the extra coat of paint, the costume. Like, this just should go through a tally of like the cost of being JT.
Now that you mention it, it's always vehicles, isn't it?
Yeah, man. It's like you've got this real bad thing going on. It's costing you like thousands of dollars.
So I had a meeting with a woman at the bank. And she said, you know what I do? I don't know anything about cars. Because in my case, this is me talking, I often use that as my opening volley. Like, you'd know better than me, bud, but I think it needs oil. So if they hear that, maybe that's industry shorthand for, well, he's going to pay for anything because he doesn't know better. This woman that I met with at the bank said, when they're changing my oil, I stand and look through the little window into the bay. Just so they can feel my presence. And when they come over and say, your car's ready, I say, what are you going to do with the rest of that oil? And she said, this just happened a couple of days ago. And the guy said, what oil? And she said, the oil that you used half of and set on the counter over there, I'd like to take that with me, please. And he said, I don't think there's any left. And she was like, well, can I feel the can? There was half.
Holy moly, man.
That is greasy. Literally a greasy scam.
You got to watch where you're going. I got my lucky brother, Jetson, who's a licensed mechanic, not for cars. He knows cars, but he does high-end, those little forklift things, even smaller than forklifts.
Oh, does he really? Ones.
Yeah, he fixes those all over the place for Raymond equipment.
Awesome.
So
he That's such a good skill to have.
Oh, yeah, and a good brother to have that skill, because I am like, I start to numb out when I start hearing the intricacies of car parts, or like someone starts talking about parts of something working in your car, I just start to fade out. I can't hear it. I start to lose the words because
it's you and me both. But I read an interesting book a couple years ago about a guy who had his doctorate in philosophy. Can't remember the name of it. But so he got a job at a think tank in Washington, and every day he'd go to work and he'd sit in his cubicle and he'd think about stuff and ponder and surmise.
Yeah.
And every day after a couple of years, he realized there's nothing to show for my efforts. So he quit and he became a motorcycle mechanic.
Oh,
all of his think tank buddies would say, that's so cool. You go to work and you don't have to think. And his point was, I've never had to think harder and I've never been more satisfied because the engine either works or it doesn't. There's some tangible outcome.
He's got a Sunday New York Times crossword going every day.
Yeah. And the difference between a quarter-inch screw and a 5/8 screw is literally life or death.
What?
Are you talking to me?
Halfway through that thing, I faded right out.
You stopped listening.
Yeah, it went over me. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but wait for it. Oh. His theory was the problem in our society now is since the 80s, we've been pushing kids to go into computers because that's the future and get a cubicle job and that's a good job and whatever. So as a result, we're sedentary. As a result, we're obese. As a result, we're lazy. We're not out running around using our bodies, blowing the stink off us, as they say.
Yeah.
And he extrapolated as to how that was responsible for a lot of the problems that we have now. I can make that leap.
Yeah. No, he's right. That's it. That we're all... We're all slowing things right down, and everybody's connected, and what we think is easier is actually the opposite. Like, what we think is an easier, faster, more convenient life is just put us in a chair and sat.
It was really interesting. We were away. The reason that this potty's a few days late coming out is because I was on a workcation in L.A. and San Diego, and I'll talk about that a little bit later in the butt of the week thing, which also involves a car incident. But it was interesting watching families at this resort in San Diego, because there are two kinds of families, the ones where people are partying together and the ones where the mom and dad have their heads down on their smartphones and the kids are literally clamoring for attention. It's a good reminder, yeah. Man.
Yeah, no, I know. It's not a good way to, when you're, well, that's one of those things when you start to get sick or something bad happens to you, you're like, oh no, I haven't been living at all.
Right.
You start realizing what you have. But anyway, hey, you know what? I got a top five coming up here. That, remember the cottage cleaning jams that we talked about?
Good time last of year. You open the cottage, things smell a little musty. Last week. Musty, yes. And optimistic. That's the musty, cocktail of smells.
Getting the stink out. I don't know how you prepare that, whether you're just this could be maybe a room in the house that's closer to the back end of the house that you don't go to because it's too cold. So you got to get that sorted. Maybe it's the shack for anybody in the Newfoundland and the Rock.
Another reason my mother was afraid of mice is because she used to have to go down to the musty basement and reach her hand in the potato bag to get potatoes for supper. Yes.
Yeah.
Same deal. Same idea.
Yeah. So I put this together again, we can have some fun with the situation and the people that would be doing it.
All right, so where's this cottage for number five? Where is it?
Well, this would be, a guy who does not clean, and this is the shack in the backyard, and it's summertime. He likes to drink outside. He knows it's something that has to happen, but he doesn't know how to get it going, so he needs motivation, not fun motivation, and he needs like serious motivation. So he puts on some Arcade Fire heady music, I guess. Nice. You could say he's gotta think about it.
Is he doing it for the old man?
Have another bag of chips, maybe?
It's a good tune.
Perhaps some Chicago mix. Think about it a bit. Could you just see him just sitting there like, oh, I don't really want to do this, but I know I have to.
Yeah.
Got it ready to start as this track. And this is just one of those things where it kind of gets him off his ass.
He's sitting in a canvas camp chair with the Canadian flag on it.
Yes.
And instead of a beer in the drink holder, there's a handful of screws from some half-finished project.
Yes, yeah. He's the second verse gets him off the chair, and, you know, he kind of goes under the sink and he grabs the Lysol and some Pine Sol or whatever else he needs to. The Mr. Clean.
Get at her, bot.
He just ambles his soft body over to the greasy floor. Gets on his hands and knees, and he just starts scrubbing.
When another bud shows up in the door and says, Garrett, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm finally ready to start cleaning.
Ever seen that wrench I lent you?
Where?
Well, it's in here somewheres.
Have a look. Feel free to come and help. You probably have a couple beers here.
Oh, man, the musty mini bar fridge that hasn't been opened since last fall.
Yes.
Has a couple of coolers in it from when the girls came.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There's a rockaberry here you can have, Garrett, if you want.
A rockaberry.
You can pound a rockaberry, but I don't have any beers.
Those things give me a gut ache. You have them.
Gut rot.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Garrett. Let's move on to another situation.
Trevor and Sheila. Lake Kujibujuak.
Where?
Lake Kujibujuak.
Where is that?
I don't know. I might have made it up.
Oh,
let's
nice.
Let's say northern Manitoba.
Or could you... Northern Manitoba, perfect.
And Trevor inherited this cottage from his folks.
Six hours south of Churchill.
Yeah.
Trevor inherited the cottage?
And this is the first year that it's actually just his. Here's what happened. He and his brother and sister inherited the cottage, but Trevor bought them out. His brother and sister wanted to sell it, and Sheila thought they should too, but Trevor was like, no, I've been going there every summer since I was a kid, Sheila. This is important to me. So Sheila's supporting her man, and she agreed that they would go into financial hock and be house poor to buy this run-down, musty piece of garbage.
And so I'm Sheila?
Yeah, you're Sheila, and I'm Trevor.
And Trevor is like the big, like, as everything's going to be great.
Well, if we're casting by our voices, you should be Trevor, and I should be Sheila, because my voice is high.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
I'll be Trevor then.
Let's start with the re of opening the door.
Okay.
You ready? I'll say re, then you kick the track.
All right, okay.
Re.
What do you think, Sheila?
I think a friggin' squirrel got into the flowers, what I think. Look at this, it's a goddamn mess.
No, no. This is where our life is gonna pick up.
That's a good jam.
You just gotta get a little elbow grease. Figure it out, babe.
I don't even understand what's happening. It's like there's residue from flour all over the counter.
Just gonna figure it out. It's gonna be fine. New Mother Nature's taking over. It's about the way things are. It's local. We can farm here. We can make it. We can make it here, Sheila. We can make it here, baby.
It's like the squirrels were partying with a mound of cocaine.
Just pick up that broom over there and I'll check upstairs, make sure there's no holes in the floor.
I'm not touching that broom. There's probably traces of raccoon feces.
Look at this view out here. And I mean, the grass isn't as long or whatever, and there's some trees, but check it out. This is full on. We're out there.
Oh, and look, there's a fire pit where we can burn the rest of our money, Trev.
Hey, look, there's a freezer in the basement. Check her out, look.
That's a perfect place to store our dead dreams.
It's on. It works. Look, there's some... I'm going to open it. Some fucking Saskberry pies. See? Saskberry pies. There's like 16 of them in here. Shields.
Shields. It's a good jam.
That's a great jam, isn't it?
I hope Trevor and Sheila make it, but I think they're on the ropes.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to work. I think there's a little too much hope going in that relationship.
Yeah, because Trev's going to spend the next 2 years going, see, Sheils? This is good, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And she's going to spend the next 2 years resenting him because there's a sale at Restoration Hardware Kids.
Yeah, you're not feeling them. I'm feeling it. She's like... what's to feel?
Yeah. There's a mosquito the size of my nostril, Trev.
Oh, yeah. She's not feeling the whole life. It's over.
It's over.
She still can't even get past how messy the house is, and he's already thinking about how great life is going to be.
But do you know what happens?
What?
When the Lord closes a musty door, he opens a screen with a rip in it window. And Trev is going to meet Laura, who works at the bait shop. She has two kids and is having a bit of a hard go, but she's salt of the earth. And they're going to fall in love. And Sheila's going to go down south and just put up some big numbers on plenty of fish. So it'll all work out as it was supposed to.
It's all good. Okay, so next, let's move on to the next track.
Okay? Yeah.
This would be, I don't know, a guy... clean and you can be this guy if you want. He's we're in Ontario. We're in Orillia. Have we been in Orillia before, Jonathan?
I feel like we've said the word on the show, but I don't remember why.
Okay, let's go somewhere else then. Let's go to Creemore.
Wow, okay.
Home of Creemore Brewery.
Sure.
You know that? Have you heard of the Creemore Springs?
I have.
Yeah. Old baseball town I used to thrive in.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. Yes. They used to have one of those, right beside the baseball diamond, there was like a little park, and they had one of those barf buckets, you know, that you spin around in.
Oh, yeah.
And the bottom of it was always full of like kitty litter because people were puking in it so much. You know, right?
Yep.
And then you see the kids spinning it, like the two bullies with the one kid in the middle telling them to stop, and they don't, and the kid pukes, and then everybody's upset. And I remember there's always like, no, we're not, you're not allowed on there, that whole thing.
Morris, look at this, Jasper hurled.
Yeah, in between the no lending, you're getting that with the bikes. Okay, so we're in Creemore.
Okay.
And just a bud, you know. Doesn't know what to do. He's thinking it's that time of year. He's got his cottage is a nice little spot on the water, little river maybe.
Couldn't wait to get back up here.
Little Mad River by the Mad River, hey?
Yep. And then who's he with? This is Toby. And who's he with?
Toby is with his buddy. Gary.
Okay. And Toby's wide-eyed wonder at this place.
And what's Gary thinking of the place? Because it's on the Mad River. He's never been there before.
Ready? Maybe Gary's underwhelmed.
Oh, perfect. No way. Okay.
So I'm Toby and you're Gary.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Okay, so creek.
Holy frig, Gary. Look at this. My baseball mitt, bud.
It's a...
Holy frig, look at this.
It's pretty nice.
Look at this, bud. Here's my photo album from when I was 8.
Oh, wow.
Holy frig, look at this, bud. Matchbooks from every motel we stayed in on that family car trip in 1984.
Wow. Hey, look, you
Holy frig, look at this! There's still some turkey in here for Thanksgiving, bud!
Oh, wow.
Holy frig, look at this, bud! The sheets are still on the beds!
Those were the same sheets that you used to have, right?
You're friggin' right they are!
Yeah.
I slept some nights in there! Didn't sleep some nights in there, too, bud! Holy frig, look at this! It's a mat! Like a doormat!
Got any beer?
Holy frig, there's toothpaste in the bathroom!
Yeah, there is.
Holy frig, bud!
Hey, man,
Hang on a sec.
Yeah?
I just have to see if something's still here.
Oh.
Holy frig. Holy frig!
What is it?
It's a spoon that I found in the walls when I was 8! Holy frig!
Toby,
Gary, check this out, bud!
Gotta have some beer in here, no?
Holy frig! Look at the shelf liners! You can see the ring where all the glasses are!
I'm going into town going to the springs.
Holy frig!
I'm gonna get 6-pack.
Holy frig! Wait! Here's the key to the shed!
Oh, yeah, you check it out for yourself. No, I'm gonna go get some
Gary, you're gonna freak when you see this, bud. Come with me, bud.
I'm going to get some ice cold suds.
Holy frig! The raft is still in here!
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm going to...
Holy frig! So is the inflatable dinghy!
Catch you in 15, bud.
Where are the friggin' oars for the dinghy? Okay, Gary! Friggin' oars must be in here somewhere, bud.
I got to go, bud. Hey, so that was The Lion Sleeps Tonight by the Nylons.
Nice.
Which was... a spectacular version of that track.
It sure was. Canadian-y. Especially with 40 seconds of like beforehand.
Yes.
Like jungle sounds.
Let's take a break and then do the rest of these.
Okay, we're taking a break. We have 2 left, right?
Yes, we have 2 left, but we have this has been a long segment at this minute, so we're just going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Plus, our 2 Buds of the Week and our 35th anniversary spectacular continues. Don't go away.
Don't get paid nearly enough to put up with your shit.
Hey, 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 we're back, and I'm ready to go with my number 2 jam.
Okay.
This would be, I guess that the that time when somebody you've had in your life for a while, and you've lost them maybe, But it's that next spring after it happens.
Ugh.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of serious and sad, but it's also you got to move on, right, bud?
Yeah, so what if a couple lived together and when they broke up, the guy was like, you know what, Amanda, you stay here. I'm going to go stay at the cottage.
And that's it?
Yeah.
Yes, that's pretty good.
So it's mid-April. He's opening up the cottage. It's his new place to live. It's where life is going to start over again. And he's trying to bright side it.
And his 87-year-old dad died, too.
Wow. Perfect that's storm.
Right? He's just, he's got a lot of thinking to do. He's got a lot of stuff to do. So he's going up to the cottage. Where are we? Where are we? Where should we go? Where should we go, bud?
Maybe somewhere in BC.
BC?
Let's rep the West Coast.
Kamloops?
Sure.
All right.
Kamloops. And maybe his dad talks to him. Even though he's gone. Maybe he asks questions of his dad and his dad comforts him.
Okay, so you want to be the guy and I'll be the dad?
Sure.
Okay, perfect. In Kamloops. Ready?
Yeah, here comes the song.
Okay, here comes the song.
Well, first I'll give you the read.
Van Damsel's a good little band. I've been talking to, helping out a little bit the last year or so. Hopefully they do things, by the way. A little Kamloops love for Van Damsel, Canadianity band.
Nice. Kids.
Okay, let's, so we're at the, what's dad and the son's name?
The son's name is Bryant with a T.
Bryant?
Yeah. Holy moly. Who was born
Bryant
during the letter T boom of 1981. Oh, they were just giving away T's. Bryant! And the dad's name is Carlos.
Carlos?
Yeah.
But he's like fifth generation Canadian.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, ready?
Yes.
So this is the creek, okay?
Yeah.
Creek.
Okay. Okay. This will be okay. I'm just gonna. It might take a while. Oh my god. We're feeling home? Oh, Dad, why can't you still be here? I have so many questions, so many things I'm asking you.
It's okay, son.
Wait, Ned? Isn't that you?
Yes.
Ned?
Brian.
Ned?
My Bryant.
Ned, why can't you meet near with me?
You just sit down. It's gonna be okay there, buddy.
I feel like I'm going crazy.
Don't worry about it, Bryant.
I mean, I can't even pronounce my vowels and consonants anymore.
You have to get past this. I'm here.
How?
I'm right here.
You
just start saying your vowels again and your consonants and strong ones. Keep it together, buddy.
Dan, you got sucked into an airplane turbine. How is it possible that you're here? I must be going crazy.
It's unfortunate that turbine took my life. Bryant. But I'm here. I'll always be in your heart, Bryant.
Thank you, Ned.
It's okay. You can say your T's and S's. Just try.
Are you saying that life is like made up of different seasons?
Seasons, Bryant. Not neeson.
What neeson is this?
Say it with an S or I'll never come back.
Is this ninter?
Why are you so annoying, Bryant?
It's the ninter of my niskanen.
I have to go, Bryant.
Nate!
I have to move on.
Where are you mowing?
Get some asses.
He's had it, eh? Pops can't handle
even the what dead he's dad. A cliche device is like, nah, I can't even. I came back from the other side to help my kid. He's on his own.
Even his dead dad's like, no dice. Kid.
I wonder if when we listen back, it'll sound like an episode of Sue Thomas FBI.
Oh man, Terry Drax, Seasons in the Sun, a classic Canadianity.
I'm gonna right confess there. Something. I didn't know that song was Canadian.
Yeah, Terry Drax. He was a fine Canadian. Even more interesting, Jim Gordon on the drums. You know how much I love Jim Gordon,
sure.
One of the best session drummers of all time.
Sure, sure,
actually,
sure.
He's on Sundown as well by Gordon Lightfoot. That's a nice
little great jam.
800 other albums.
What's number one? So, is there any Gord on your list?
Gord? No. No, I did. It came through my mind a little bit, but just wanted to spread it out. You know, it's either Gord or this guy. And, you know, I always do a little Gord or Neil Young.
Yeah.
We went with Neil Young, but Neil Young's cover of Four Strong wins with...
Oh, come on. Okay. So
Ian and Sylvia Tyson song.
So these are two women of a certain age in down vests, if you know what I'm saying.
What's that? What's that? One more?
They're a couple.
Yeah.
And... they have decided to each sell their bachelor condos in Edmonton. Okay. No, let's go to Yellowknife.
Yellowknife?
Yeah, they just moved out of their apartment building in downtown Yellowknife, and they've built a cabin on an island.
All right.
So last year was the first year it was open. This year they're going back. They're going to open
around.
What
are their
names? Kelly and Tanya.
Kelly and Tanya.
Yeah.
Couple of Alberta babes.
Yep, with down vests, if you know what I mean.
Yep. Okay. So we're going to whose idea is
the
house?
Okay. So Kelly and Tanya have both been telling each other, like, yeah, that would be fun. We should really do that. But the truth is, neither of them wants to be there.
Ooh.
Good, right?
Yeah, they're not the most outdoor type people, but they figure if they get, you know, ambition is everything.
Well, the thing is, Kelly put on her plenty of fish that she loves to be outdoorsy and go for hikes, and Tanya did the same because that's the kind of person they were looking for, but neither of them's really like that.
Okay, perfect.
All right, let's mount up.
This is the creek.
Hey, Kelly. What do you think?
All I can think about is just how good it is to be back here out in the wild with the fresh air and the kayaks.
Yeah, I could probably use a beer and just chill back a bit.
Oh, you know how much I love chilling. Just if there's one thing that I love, it's just chilling out in the with the mosquitoes and the also the cold.
I forgot about mosquitoes. I don't like mosquitoes.
Hey, can you pass me a travel mug with some herbal tea in it?
Herbal tea? Sure.
Herbal tea?
Go, Kel.
Ever since...
here you go, Tanya.
Ever since we moved up here from Persinatoba...
I could, we need some, like, board games or something.
I don't know. If it was up to me, we could just sit here and enjoy the silence for months on end.
You're just saying that. There's one part about being on an island, which is fine and everything, except for, like, the other part about it is you're on an island. Like, this isn't... Now, it's an idea that was cool, but now I'm thinking, like, it's more like we've kind of, like... kind of put ourselves in kind of a possible prison.
Are you saying what I think you're saying? What I kind of hope you're saying?
I think I'm saying what you're thinking, Tanya.
Well, Kelly,
I think we made a mistake is what I'm saying.
I'm so happy to hear you say that because I hate's not too strong a word. I hate it out here.
Well, let's get the fuck out of here then.
Have you seen my down vest?
I think it's upstairs on that bed.
Do you want to come upstairs and help me put it on? One last
time?
Well,
it'll probably be about the only thing good about this place, yeah.
Why don't you come upstairs and help me put on my down vest?
I'll put it down. Let's get up there and get into things.
You're so hot when you talk forcefully in your down vest.
Shut up and get upstairs.
I like how you hit the post.
To the guitar solo, yeah. Right? It was nice. What a good jam.
I feel like they're okay. They're going to be okay.
Yeah, they're getting out of there, though. Even though they lost 6 months of the lease on the place.
That's okay. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Thank God they're making a lot of money on the oil patch.
Is that code for something?
No.
Thank God they're
not at all.
They're both making out like bandits in the diamond industry, if you know what I mean. All right, let's do the buds of the week. Want to?
Yeah, let's do the buds.
Great top five, by the way, bud. That was great.
Thanks. Thank you. Cottages are cleaned. Not many of them got cleaned, but
we met a lot of new friends.
Yes. Yes.
So I was in California on a workcation. In other words, I took my family.
Nice.
Had a few days of things to do in Los Angeles. The biggest change there is that downtown is now awesome.
Yes.
Downtown is clean and you can walk around and it's safe and there are cops everywhere and they've poured millions and millions of dollars into the downtown. I mean, when we lived there, Bod, you wouldn't go downtown.
Yeah, no, it was, I think those buildings were just too nice to have them there, and I guess what happened was the condo boom and real estate there, and there's still the desolate, dirty
Skid Row
shanty town that's down further now, but it's still like one of the most crazy places on earth. If you ever go to that actual, like, where the homeless people are,
oh yeah, it's wild.
It is unbelievable. It's like you're like, what the hell happened? Is this just the middle of like some really ridiculous part of, you know, Mexico or something in the middle of downtown?
Yeah, it's third world living conditions, tent cities, and all of the stereotypes and cliches that you've heard times 100. Having said that, it was nice because it's not really a walking city. It was nice to be downtown and be able to walk, and took the girls to the park and took the girls to a movie and all those things that you wouldn't have necessarily done downtown not that many years ago. So we decided, because it was so far to go from Nova Scotia to California, that we'd make it count and we'd tack on a few days and go down to San Diego to go to the zoo.
Good move.
Which was really
very good move.
Cool. And the San Diego Zoo is famous for a reason, mostly because I get that the animals are kept captive there, but it seems as though if you're going to do that particular habitat is created with the animals in mind first. Like, the animals seem very content, and their habitats, I mean, I'm not a zoologist, but they seem to be clean, and they seem to have what they need, and they don't seem stressed, because I've been to places, as I'm sure you have, where it seems like, I don't know if the animals dig this. The animals there seem to dig it.
If it's I guess that would be the closest to great conditions as there is on the planet for zoos, for sure. And it's also my favorite part is the Three's Company opening. That's why
I was thinking the same thing.
That's
I was thinking
right.
the exact same thing with the golf carts, right?
Yeah.
So Burling down the 405 becomes the 5, Burling down to San Diego with the family in our rental SUV. Get an indication that one of the tires is a couple pounds light on air, and then suddenly, boom.
No.
6 lanes of traffic each way, and we blew a tire. Like the sidewall just imploded in a way I've never seen a tire. I'll send you a picture, and maybe you can put it up on the internet service.
Like the full-on, like, a rental car, ridiculous, blowing a tire.
Yeah. So somehow creep over 6 lanes of traffic because I was in the fast lane where I like to live my life.
Yeah.
Creep over to the curb, like, like emergency nightmare. I'm over on the side of the road, and the spare tire is, because it's a big truck, it's like you take the jack, you hook on an extender, you pop off a plate on the bumper, you fish the whole thing through, you twist it out and get, like, the thing down. The jack that I had with the rental car, because of the angle it was on the curb, wouldn't get it up high enough. Like, one of those, like, people are flying by at a billion miles an hour, nobody's stopping, nobody's helping. Along comes a black Ford Mustang with a Texas plate, four ways going, and a young man named Cody Garcia gets out of his car. I'd been there about 45 minutes, and looking over your shoulder the whole time to think, like, somebody driving by is sending a text, and suddenly I'm a hood ornament for their late model Oldsmobile.
Yeah.
Cody Garcia gets out.
Dead.
Can I help you, bud? Like, oh, man, do you know much about cars? And he said, no, not really, but he was in military fatigues. He was just coming from a day of training in Oceanside. It was probably a hot, tiring, early morning start for him. Pulled over and spent over an hour with me helping get it fixed. What a bud. And, you know, we're chit-chatting, of course, as the hour goes by. He wasn't in a rush at all. He had a great attitude. He was happy to help. So I asked for his email address, and my wife and I were saying, like, what can we do for him? He was such a dude. So we e-transferred him some money just to say, I know you didn't expect this, and that's part of the reason why we wanted to do it, and thanks for being so awesome. And it was a little thing to you, but to us, you can imagine, it was a little stressful. We're in a different country. We have a little girl sleeping in the back of the car. It didn't feel very safe, and his stopping really made us feel better. And he wrote back, oh, I couldn't possibly accept this. Just knowing that I made your thing a little less stressful was all the thanks I needed. So, like, bud on top of being a bud.
Yeah.
Really cool. That's my bud of the week. Who's yours?
My bud of the week, and it's nice to have the personal bud of the week. My bud of the week is more of a shining the light on a bud. Paulie O'Byrne.
Okay.
Paulie 1 in 5 on Twitter. He's also got a website. I'm 1 in 5, the number. I'm 1 and number 5.com. I'm 1in5.com. He's stick handling a ball from Victoria, BC to St. John's, Newfoundland, starting on May 1st. And he's raising awareness for mental illness, sexual abuse, and addiction.
Come on.
And something that he thought up himself, and he's obviously very ambitious, been through a lot as a person, and he's doing really well right now, and he wants to kind of pass on and give hope for others that are suffering from anything that's similar to that, or just people that are having a hard time, period. It's an opportunity to help raise awareness for these things, and just for people to think that there's no way out of these conditions or situations, that there is. So good for Paulie, your bot of the week. I'll contact him on Twitter machine and get him a t-shirt for being such a bot.
That's so great. And it gets a dialogue started, and, you know, bad things happen to most of us at different points in our lives. And there are two things you can do. One is you can shut down, or two is you can find a way to pour syrup over poo. Still going to taste like a poo sandwich, but it'll choke down a little easier.
Yeah.
So good for you, Paulie, and good for you, Cody Garcia.
Go to his website, I'm1in5.com. Check it out, see what he's doing, and help out a bud. Paulie 1in5 on Twitter as well. So, Paulie O'Byrne, good stuff. Buds
Cody
all
Garcia,
around.
Good stuff. It's a 2-for bud of the week on our 35th episode spectacular. We'll take a break and be right back here on TNT.
Where's my beer chair?
Hello?
Hey, is Jeremy there, please?
Who's this?
It's Corey Hart calling you up. I was just calling to see if you're home.
Hey, guess what?
What?
In all of the Amanda Marshallry, we forgot her biggest song.
What?
Maybe a long shot. We may be lonely down the line. Love knows no reason. And I won't
Let them make up my mind, cause. Sing it with me. Do you know it?
Not yet.
My money's riding on this dark horse, the
back. Oh, I
my
said
heart
that
is
one already.
And it's the lucky one. And it's two colors gonna shine through someday. If we let this dark horse run. Did you say that?
God. Yeah, I said that like way back.
Listen to the verse. You ready?
Okay.
Indian summer, Abilene. You were new in town and I was 19. And sparks flew. They called us crazy behind our backs. Romantic fools, we just let them laugh. Because we knew. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
I have.
Hey, guess what?
I have an inside track, by the way. Someone said that Amanda Marshall was enjoying the success of her first record so much and may or may not have been really hard to get along with on her second record, to the point where maybe the label folks kind of distanced themselves from her.
Yeah, well, that can happen from time to time if you're a rising star to that kind of a catapult.
She got above her raisin.
When I was with OLP, we were on Columbia back in the day, and that was with Amanda Marshall, and we kind of saw that Clumsy album was at the same time as that stuff happening, so it was like, it was a happy family, because lots of records were going out the door, eh, bud?
Yeah, I bet, but at the same time, if she got the label people's panties in a wad, they wouldn't like that much, would they?
Well, I don't know if they don't care if they're selling tons of records at all. You can be as much of a pain in the arse if you want. It's just when the opposite starts to happen, that's when the weight of the grouchiness becomes less and less.
I was working on the Jenny McCarthy show for VH1 last year, and one of the guests on the show is a guy named French Montana. Do you know that name? Kind of a hip-hop cat.
French Montana!
And he went from 0 to 60,000 in a nanosecond. Oh, and yeah. He had an entire bottle or two of Kettle One vodka before he was a guest on the show.
Oh, wow.
Like, couldn't even finish a sentence. And I was talking to one of the label guys.
Though.
Well, yeah, he thought he was fine. But it was like, yeah. So French, what's your last name? Like, mess. The label guy said, and he was on Diddy's label. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't imagine Diddy would be down with guys wasting his money like this. And he said, we have kind of a policy in-house. You give people 6 months. You can enjoy your newfound fame and success for 6 months, but after that, it's shape up or ship out.
Wow.
So he was like probably month 4 into just partying down.
And he shipped out?
I don't think he did. He was having intimate relations with a Kardashian for a while. I don't know if that's shaping up or shipping out. But he's on the radio. He had a song with J-Lo, I Love You, Pappy.
Oh, that's him. Okay, there you go. So he's still rolling then.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's a songsmith. Anyway, there you go.
But songsmiths have many different hats these days.
It's true.
Sometimes they're just walking bios with a brand.
Yeah, and then you have guys like Gordy Sampson from Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, who's written great songs for all of the country music community.
And that's old school. That's just a songwriting dude.
That's like a craftsman.
Hold on.
That's put your head down, saw the wood, bud.
Hey, did you hear about the Mario Lopez and that? What's that? The Talk Soup actor guy? What's his name?
Joel McHale.
Yeah, Joel McHale was at some boxing charity or something, and he saw Mario Lopez sitting in the seats, and then Mario Lopez was like. Or I think he sent a tweet like, oh my God, it's Mario Lopez. What am I going to do? And Mario Lopez like put like back the ultimate like classic like hot chick or girl who thinks they're hot, what they say to their friends when you say anything to them, like in a nightclub, like how's it going? Or, you know, that's a nice dress or whatever. They look to their friends and this is what Mario Lopez tweeted back. That's a stalker.
What? Right? Okay.
You know, that's what the girl always says to their friends, like, oh my God, stalker, just because, like, they're talking to you.
I really want to understand every nuance of this.
Yes.
So was Mario Lopez in Joel McHale's seats, or they just happened to see each other?
Few seats away. There's like, it's right on Twitter. You can check it out. It's pretty funny.
So Joel McHale says something to the effect of, "Hey, oh my God, it's Mario Lopez. LOL."
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And then Mario Lopez says what?
Because he takes a picture of him in his seat, and he's like tweeting in his seat or whatever. And then Mario Lopez's tweet back was like,
"Stalker,
celebrity stalker, photo. What was it? Creepy photo guy. That's what it was. Creepy photo guy, stalker." Right. Classic.
So
like the nightclub girl come back.
Did it escalate? Like what? Joel McHale was obviously teasing him.
Yeah. And then that was, I guess, like the, you know, the tease back. And then they just kind of went back and forth. And all of a sudden, like, they're at some dinner afterwards and at a restaurant. And Lopez is in the restaurant, too. So he's, like, snapping a picture. McHale takes a picture of him. He's like, he's still following me or something. Or he followed me home. And so he went on and on with the stalker stuff. So it was, I'm sure they were probably just having a laugh, but it was just funny to see the Mario Lopez, like the way he, the classic comebacks were just totally like, you know, in some
teenage girl stuff.
Yeah. Like,
I'm on Team McHale, obviously.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There's a really funny Canadian comedian named Pat Thornton. He's on a show called Sunnyside on City TV, and he's a stand-up and a dude. He retweets everything that Mario Lopez tweets, and it's kind of meta, but it's so funny because he's such a D-bag.
Yeah, I appreciate that he's sticking with it. That's a tough stick, though, eh?
Tough stick.
But I'm sure he probably got some love the last night or whenever this happened, but it was pretty funny. Hey, do you have a chocolate gut ache like I do from the Easter morning?
No, I haven't had any because I'm still on West Coast time.
Oh.
And I don't even know what meal it is.
So what about the girls? Have they not crushed a bunch already?
Yeah, they're all fired up and they went to their grandmother's for more sugar.
Nice.
Bud, it's time to get this off my chest. We need to talk about the Nova Scotia film tax credit issue.
Go for it. Let's do it.
So if you haven't been following the story, here's what happened. The deputy premier, whose name is Diana Whelan, made reference during a speech at, I don't know, Chamber of Commerce or something, and alluded to the fact that in the upcoming budget, which is this Wednesday or Thursday, there are going to be serious changes to the Nova Scotia Film Tax Credit Program. So, what is the Film Tax Credit Program? Hang on, stay with me.
What is the Film Tax Credit Program?
Okay, I don't want to sound like I'm talking about cars and you're going to tune out, but in broad strokes,
I'm listening.
Here's what it is.
I was just filling the time and when you were backing off the mic like a good co-host does.
Thanks, bud. I was putting my guitar down.
Yeah.
Here's what the Film Tax Credit Program is. It's a labor tax credit incentive that brings films and TV shows to Nova Scotia because the government will pay back a percentage of the Nova Scotia labor that you use to work on your movie. Mm-hmm. It works in a couple of ways. One is for shows that are generated here that don't have huge budgets, it means they can give battlefield promotions and train people. For example, if you're a camera operator and I hire you on my Nova Scotia show, then the government will give me back a percentage of your wage. So what's happening is several things. More shows are happening here. More people are getting trained in these positions, which is great because a lot of the positions are transferable to other industries, electricians and painters and carpenters and what have you. Because there are more shows, there is more spending in the community. Haven is a show that shoots here. They spent $300,000 on local hotels last year. Mm-hmm. They spent $200,000 on food just for their set in one season. So the spinoff of this for small businesses for the city and the province is spectacular. This costs the province $24 million, but there was $140 million in productions done last year. Mm-hmm. So there are some myths around the tax credit, one of which is people who work in film don't pay income tax. That is simply not true.
Yeah, no kidding.
The other myth around this is that some Hollywood producers swoop in here and grab big bags of money and take it out of the province. That is simply not true. Every show that I work on, I have to fill out a Nova Scotia residency card that makes me eligible for the tax credit. For example, if I hired an editor from Toronto, I don't get that tax credit.
Yeah.
So what happens sometimes with big Hollywood movies is they will hire local service producers here to access the tax credit. That is true. But they're using local Nova Scotia people.
Yeah.
So my concern is, first of all, without the tax credit, no 22 Minutes, no Trailer Park Boys, no Mr. D, no Haven, no Book of Negroes, no Hope for Wildlife. All of the shows that have been done here would not have existed, period.
And that's one of the that's like a huge percentage of important television in Canada.
Well, the second point is, it is a matter of cultural pride and currency. As I have been vocal about on Twitter, three of the five nominees for Best Comedy Series this year at the Canadian Screen Awards were shot in Nova Scotia. It's kind of what we do here, and this industry has taken 20 years to build up. And my concern is that if folks who are misinformed get behind shutting this down, it's honestly, it's going to be the end of the industry, because it happened in New Brunswick and it happened in Saskatchewan. And the industry is thriving here right now, so these are very tense times. But the nice thing is, when things like this happen, the community has banded together in a way that's really nice. And fans of these shows have rallied behind them. Like Jimmy Kimmel and Snoop Dogg and Tom Arnold and all these people are tweeting support of Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah, I've seen it. Axl Rose's voice is...
Axl Rose? Because the truth is, if we don't get the tax credit, Trailer Park doesn't happen. Yeah. And how incredible has Trailer Park Boys been for the profile of Nova Scotia all over the world?
Well, I mean, think about other things that the government puts money into. I mean, the music industry, for one thing, they put millions and millions of dollars in grants and subsidies to not just pay for certain like videos and but for albums, for tour support. There's all kinds of money that they allocate for that, for the idea of growing talent. And that was kind of implemented in more in the last 20 years. And look at the international acts that we've got now because of it. Like the Canadian music scene could not be any better. There's so many incredible records that are out all the time by people from Dan Mangan to even Arcade Fire, how big they are. All of these bands put massive food on the table for the people that they go to play to and the people that come and see them and work for them. And it's the same thing for music. And they did it for the Olympics. When you put money into it and you start to try and develop the athletes, you get money back from gold medals and just awareness around the world. You never pay to these things and don't see anything back. It's is always a way to kind of generate a style and a lifestyle of a country. And they do it in other countries that thrive in Europe and around the world that are some of the leaders in developing talent. That's how you do it. You have to do things like that. And like you said, it really is, if this happens, the beginning of the end. It's all crumbling.
Well, and my brother-in-law and I had an interesting conversation about it because he was saying the problem in the Maritimes now is we used to rely on industry. We used to have forestry and farming and fishing, and now our whole economy is reliant on services, government-supported services, necessary ones, teachers and emergency workers and all of those things. But this is actually an industry here, and to the folks that work in the industry, it's one thing, but you hear a letter from someone who owns a cupcake shop and all of the shows buy her cupcakes to give as wrap presents to everybody at the end of the show. Or a guy who has a t-shirt screen printing business. It's a small shop, but every movie that comes through needs some custom printing stuff. Like, those businesses will die too. And I think there are different types of value that are important to consider. The value as far as the profile that Nova Scotia gets from some of the shows that it shot here, Call Me Fitz, things like that, is immeasurable, if you ask me. And really, in the big picture, $24 million is about what the Nova Scotia government has wasted on trying to fix the Blue Nose over the last 5 years, and it's still not done.
Yeah.
So it seems like a pretty paltry sum. But... like, I don't think I'm overstating it to say if they kill the tax credit, we will be moving.
Yeah.
We just will.
Yeah. Where would you move? Where does it exist in other other provinces still?
Yeah, it exists in other places and in the United States as well. In fact, I have a friend who's an actor in the States.
North Carolina, right?
North Carolina's one, yeah. And I think Boston's a real hotbed. I think Massachusetts has an appealing tax credit incentive. It was Schwarzenegger, when he was the governor in California, who said, we need to shut this down because we're losing all our business to Canada. So we'll see how it goes. That happens Wednesday or Thursday this week. But suffice to say, if they do kill it, it won't be because they didn't hear us.
Yeah, no, for sure.
There you go.
And literally, you do believe if they do kill it, you'll have to move.
Yes.
Like 100%.
Yeah. Well, the industry will be done here. Yeah. Everybody relies on these tax credits.
Yeah.
And really, ultimately, what it means is the government will have spent all this money to train all these people who will then take the skills they've learned and go elsewhere. And leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we certainly don't need more reasons in this part of the world for young, engaged citizens to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
All right. I'm down off my dark horse, baby.
We have some good news, though.
What is
it? We have our fancy show at May 5th at Canadian Music. We sold the fuck out.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Amen.
We put up the pre-sales, and they went like hotcakes, and that's then we great. Put up the rest, and they went up like hotter cakes.
So, philosophically, our idea was, from the get-go, that we wanted to play a smaller venue and have it jammed to the teats rather than play a big, cavernous, half-empty hall. And I think that was a good strategy. And to folks that wanted to get tickets and couldn't, we will be back. We will do it again. This is really just an experiment. To see what it's like live.
Yes, and we will, we're already planning in the future, and just it was nice to know that there's, I guess a lot of people that are excited about it, and we've got a lot of great emails and also tweets of people across the country that really want us to go to different places, and we're going to try and do that in the future, so... Just nice to see TNT going into the different format.
What are you going to wear, bud?
Conversation on stage with possibility of guests like my dad.
Yeah.
Or the Flatliners, who are definitely playing in the center of intermission.
Yeah.
And the opportunities that will happen with the music side of things. So it's going to be a good time.
What are you going to wear?
I think I'm going to keep it Canadian.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll rock a denim suit, but maybe something that is comfortable. How about that? What about yourself?
Well, should we have a contest where we try to out Canadian? No, you know what we should do? Have a contest for the folks coming.
To out Canadian.
To out Canadian each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have a bot of the night.
Well, if I don't know if you noticed, but if especially during CMW, it looks like a bunch of loggers and or Civil War, reenactors walking around downtown. So that's basically what we're going to have anyway.
Can
so
I just say, that's enough with the hats. That's enough with the hats.
Which ones? Like the fedoras? Like
the Civil War reenactors and the fedoras and the things and the stuff.
Those old like little mutton hats.
The
like
felt the ones things. Of, like, and
1910 baseball hat.
And the newsy stuff. Like that's enough. Yeah.
The like the little thin leather suspenders.
That's
with
enough.
The, like, with the cotton, 1940s cotton. With three buttons.
Yeah.
And it's so thin that you can see the hair on their nipples. And you don't need to see that.
Everything that I wore to Fairview Junior High is back.
Yeah. Vegan shirts.
Yeah, I think I think that's enough with the hats. And I also think that's enough with the scoop neck t-shirts on dudes. Like, that's enough for that.
The big, huge, like, those open shirts that the thin, so thin.
That I think just that's like... enough. I also think if we're throwing out things that that's enough of, that's the enough of saying, I see what you did there or see what I did there.
Yeah.
That's enough of that.
Yeah. Yes. And that's enough of the drop crotch pants and trying to sell me on drop crotch pants.
Yeah.
That's
DCPs. Ain't nobody got time for DCPs anymore. That's also, that's enough of the word enthusiast.
Oh, yes.
That's enough of that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's also, that's enough with winter.
That's enough with winter.
Seriously. Like that's enough with the winter. It's snowing right now and it's April. We got baseball and the Masters are next week and it's snowing for crying out loud.
Hey, remember, I have a follow-up to my mom and the perv next door.
Yeah. Oh,
the contraption. Yeah.
The contraption.
So I called her from California and she said, hello. And I said, hi. And she said, hello. And I said, hi. And she said, hello. And I said, hi. And she said, I don't understand why you get such a kick out of doing this, and slammed the phone down.
Oh, because you do that to her all the time?
No. I think what happened was her earpiece isn't working. And whereas most of us would think there was probably something wrong with my phone, my mom thinks
it's a prank call.
What kind of perv is calling me to get his jollies? Funny, right? That would be your default.
She just thinks it's some horny guy calling. Yeah. Oh my God.
And that's why she slammed it down.
Where does your mom's mind go, eh?
Every time. This is one of my favorite mom stories.
I'm gonna blame the mouse that ran around her body.
I was telling her something on the phone and she said, just a second, I'm gonna get a pen. Did I ever told you this?
No. What'd she do?
Just a second, I'm gonna get a pen. So I'm on the phone, 2 minutes goes by, 4 minutes goes by, 6 minutes goes by, nothing. Finally, after 7 minutes, I say, Mom? She goes, yeah. I said, you're there? She said, well, yeah. I said, just a second. I was going to get a pen. So she'd been back for 6 minutes and 55 seconds and had failed to re-trumpet her arrival back into the conversation.
But she was there.
Yeah, the whole time.
Like Sling Blade at the front door, just standing there.
Yeah.
Forgot to ring the doorbell.
Standing there on the phone, yeah.
Wow, that's a good one.
Which begs the question, I wonder if that's her.
There she is.
Begs the question, where did she think I was? What do I do? Should I answer the phone?
Yeah, let's see who it is.
All right.
Canadianity Styles on the podcast.
Hello? Hi.
If it's your mom, that would
Jeremy,
be
it's Carol. Torrin's calling.
Nice. It's your wife. Say it's hello.
It's my wife. Jeremy says hi. Maybe we'll take a break on TNT and be back to wrap it up.
All right.
Cocktail, please.
We're back.
Hey, Jeremy. It's Mike Duffy.
Can you believe that?
That's the best thing I've ever seen on the internet.
Mike Duffy, you sent this to me. Mike Duffy has an app where he was pre-recorded, I don't know, 300 names.
And 300 of the most white bread names that you could think of are on there.
Hey, I'm on here.
Yeah, let's hear yours.
All right. Hang on.
Hey, Jonathan, it's Mike Duffy.
Hey, here's the weird thing. Hang on. Listen to this.
Jonathan.
Oh, there's two different ones.
Well, here's the weird thing. There's one for Jonathan and another one for Jonathon.
Yeah.
They're not different pronunciations. They're just different spellings. All right, here's Jonathan, as if it was a telethon.
Yeah.
Jonathan, hi, it's Mike Duffy.
Okay. Now here's Jonathan.
Hey, Jonathan, it's Mike Duffy speaking.
Yeah.
Why would you want that?
I don't know if I heard any difference. What do Jim Richards sent me this on Twitter and I just was crying. Do Larry. You got to hear how he throws Larry.
Okay? I have Wade teed up.
I'll do Wade, here comes Wade first.
Hey, Wade, it's the old...
Oh, hang on.
Old Duff.
Yep.
Oh, it's the old Duff.
Let her play again.
It's the old Duff.
Oh, man. He's like, anytime there's a name where it's like one syllable or it's like maybe
hey,
a little...
Larry, it's the old Duff.
There it is.
There it is. Little chuckle.
Let's hear that.
Anytime it's a bud, he buds it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Larry, it's the old Duff.
It's the old Duff.
What would you do with these?
Yeah, like do Barry.
Beery?
Barry, B-A-R-R-Y.
Whose name is Barry, B-E-R-R-Y?
Yeah, that's right, eh? Classic.
Hi, Barry. Mike Duffy
speaking. Oh, no. Isn't there a B-A, Barry?
I don't think there is.
Oh, I thought I saw one.
Oh, yeah, B-A-R-R-I-E.
Yeah, 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 do it.
Hey, Barry, it's the...
Oh, wait, you gotta play Duff. It twice.
Hey, Barry, it's the old Duff.
Oh, the old Duff, eh? Just like you see, you know me.
This is the thing. Someone made a call sheet. A car was sent to pick him up. A studio was booked. There was a camera person. And it was just him sitting in a room saying people's names.
Yeah.
Listen to Roderick.
Hello, Roderick. Mike Duffy speaking.
It's almost better with the pauses.
With the gap.
All right, throw a name at me. Do you want to go French Canadian?
I don't know if he's got it. That's what I remember it being real, like white, classic, straight up, the ultimate in white bread names. There's not really a lot of.
There must be like some Jean. Oh, there's a Jean Claude.
Oh, there's Jean-Claude. Let's hear that.
All right.
You got to play one, and then we'll...
Hello, Jean.
The second one is going to have the money on it.
Okay.
Hello, Jean-Claude. It's Mike Duffy.
Yeah, he's all straight up.
Yeah, he's all straight.
How about Mary?
All right. I could do this all day.
Yeah.
Mary, coming at you. Might take a second.
Hello, away. Mary. Mike Duffy again.
Again. There's a history. Oh.
Hello, Mary. Mike Duffy again.
I want to know, I have so many questions. How many takes of each name? Who is in charge of saying, okay, I think we've got John. Let's move on. Lucien?
I want to hear Larry again.
Okay. We'll end on Larry. Hey, I was happy to talk to you today, bud. I missed you.
Yeah, it was good to catch up.
Hey, Larry, it's the old Duff.
Hey, listen to the chuckle.
Hey, Larry, it's the old Duff.
As if they have a history.
I have a feeling Larry and the old Duff got banged up a couple times.
Hey, Larry.
Oh, or this one. Oh, Larry, it's the old Duff. Hey, the call now.
Okay, one more Bernadette.
Bernadette, hi, it's Mike Duff.
Imagine you get this message on your machine.
Bernadette, hi, it's Mike Duffy.
Oh, there's a pause in there. Play that again.
Bernadette, hi, it's Mike Duffy.
That sounds current.
This is so odd.
Like there's an issue.
All right, I'm tapping out of the Mike Duffy game. But I love it.
Talk about Mike Duffy.
He's from PEI. He's a senator involved in a scandal. Egghead. Hefty. Journalist, CTV. How'd I do?
That was pretty good. I think you got them all.
Man, Bananas and Tarantulas made me laugh. If there's a kid's show, if ever I heard one.
Well, remember in the actual Banana Boat song, they mentioned tarantulas.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? Big Black Tarantula!
It's a good note to end on. We're ending on tarantulas again.
Yeah, I know, which is great. Great to talk to you, bud. Talk to you next week, bud.